I'd like to convene the Ways and Means Committee, and Representative Olson, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
I have, Mr. Chair, and I moved the minutes from the May 1st meeting.
Okay, that motion is before us, and by the way, we do have a quorum. Any discussion on the motion to approve the minutes? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. The first bill up this morning is a bill by Representative Liebling, and that's House File 2604, and I understand you're going to take a drive?
I hope so.
Okay.
Mr. Chair. So I move adoption of the Health and Human Services Finance Division Report.
Okay,
for House File 2604.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
And then, Mr. Chair, I move that House File 2604 be recommended to be placed on the General Register. And members, this is here simply as a vehicle bill for Health and Human Services Finance, should we need one.
Okay, and that's what I meant by taking a drive. So, okay, any discussion on the bill? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
All right. Thank you, members.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
And
Chair.
And the second bill up this morning is Representative Dean. Oh, I didn't see you behind the chair. Representative Dean. Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members.
Representative Olson will make a couple of motions on your behalf. Representative Olson?
Yes, I will.
The division report would be the first one.
I move the division report for House File 40.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion on the division report? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Olson?
I move House File 400, the first engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, you added an extra zero there, I think.
House File 40.
40. Yeah.
Excuse me, I have House File 400. It's on my mind.
400, I'm sure, is somewhere, but it's not here today. Okay, the motion is before us. There are no amendments, so Representative Dean, would you care to explain the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is a bill that's been around the legislature for now about 17 years. I think I've brought this before about six or seven committees. We had long discussion on the floor when it was part of the state government finance bill. So, you know, it allowed those individuals who are no longer incarcerated or those individuals who receive probation for felony convictions to participate in our elections and to engage civically.
Okay, the restoration of the vote, then.
Yes.
Basically what it is. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know we just got the fiscal note, I believe, and it seems really low.
Mm-hmm.
So how many people would this involve if you restore their voting rights after they finish their prison sentence, but before they're done with their full sentence? How many people do you anticipate that involving?
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So you laid out one scenario of individuals who are actually incarcerated and then get out. There's also another large portion of individuals who were never incarcerated that are under probation. The costs involved would be minor. It would just be notification of those individuals through their probation officers that they've had their right restored, and for those individuals then that are leaving prison to let them know that their right to vote has been restored upon the release. So the cost is really minimal. Currently, there are, you know, a stack of forms that individuals get when they leave prison regarding their obligation around their supervised release. So this would just be another small additive to that.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So could you walk us through the process a little bit, Representative Dean, because I'm not on public safety where this has been heard, but so let's say a person leaves prison and they're going to be on probation now. What happens with the data that says that their right to vote has been restored. Walk through the process, if you could, a little bit.
Representative Dean.
Mr. Chair and Representative Scott, so they're not going on to probation. They're on what's called supervised release, which we used to call parole, but when we went to determinant sentencing, that changed. So what that means is the information around those individuals regarding their status of not being able to vote would then not be something that would be added to the Secretary of State's data set regarding those individuals who are not able to vote because of a felony conviction.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And Representative Dean, so how does the probation officers, how are they informed of this, and how do they then communicate to their subject? I don't know what you call
individuals
them anyway.
They're supervising?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
how is that communicated?
I mean, it would just, Mr. Chair and Representative Scott, it would just be communication to probation officers through the people that supervise, you know, many probation officers, to inform those individuals that now they have had their right restored to vote in that come elections within the jurisdiction which they're able to vote, that they will be able to vote come the next election.
And Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Scott.
Thank you. One final question. So if someone that has had their voting rights restored, if they vote early and then they violate their supervised release, what then happens to their vote? Is it provisional in any way, or is it counted just like everybody else's?
Representative Dean?
Mr. Chair, I would say that if that was the case for an individual who voted early and then they violated their supervision or their probation, thus not creating a new crime, that would be a process. So, you know, in the state of Minnesota with early voting, we only have a certain amount of time. So that individual's vote would still be in place until they're either found guilty or not guilty of violating probation. And if it's an instance where an individual is returned to incarceration, then they would lose that right to vote. But I think the possibility of an individual voting and then being returned to an institution within the voting period of time that we have for early voting, I think I can't say categorically that it would never happen, but I think the amount of incidents would be very minor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion? Representative Olson?
Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 40, the first engrossment, be placed on the general register.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Okay, we have now House File 2311, Representative Sundin.
Thank you, Mr.
This
Chair.
This deals with workers' comp, and Representative Olson.
Yes, I move the adoption of the Jobs and Economic Development Finance Division report for House File 2311.
Okay, the motion is before us to adopt the division report. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Olson.
Mr. Chair, I move that House File 2311, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, that motion is before us, and I understand the author has an amendment that's technical in nature. Representative Wilson, would you care to move the amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move the A19-0552 on behalf of the author.
Okay, that motion is before us. It's strictly technical, right? So any discussion on the amendment? Representative Scott.
Mr. Chair, I'll just wait till we get the bill before us as amended, and then I'll address my concerns.
It's my understanding it's technical, so Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Sundin, would you care to explain the bill?
The bill you have before you is a product of the Workman's Comp Advisory Commission, and Representative Albright and I serve on that commission, and this is absolute bipartisan agreement on the provisions of the bill. If you want to get into the technical aspects of it, I have Commissioner Lepink and staff available.
Okay, why don't we see if there's a question. This is a bill that, as you point out, both sides of the question come together on the advisory group, and when there's peace in the valley, then we generally move forward with it without any particular problems.
But, that is correct, Mr. Chair.
Representative Scott, did you indicate that?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I've spoken with some folks from the Work Comp Advisory or from Dolly. I don't remember which they were from, but I have concerns because this bill is setting up a new database. You're taking from paper to electronic, and I understand the reason for doing that. But what we've done in recent years with all these new databases that are being set up is we put certain parameters around who can access the information, what their role, they have to have role-based access, they need to be able to create audit trails. There's usually an annual audit to make sure that only the right people that should be seeing this information are seeing it. And also we've put limits on who can see what information. There's going to be a lot of people seeing people's medical information and different things with this, and we want to make sure that only the right eyes that should be on this information are on that information. And so I'm not sure really where this, and just having a hallway conversation with some of the folks that are advocates for this, I'm not sure where that, if they're going to be able to implement some of these changes, but I think it's really important for the people who have claims to know that their information will be protected, and that only the right people who should be seeing their some pretty sensitive information are seeing it. So I don't know if you have an update on that specific issue, if you've been spoken to about this or not, because isn't this Representative Mahoney's bill? Representative Sundin?
Representative Sundin.
This bill originated from the Workman's Comp Advisory Commission, but it came through Mahoney's committee.
And so, Mr. Chair, Representative Sundin, do you know if they're going to be taking the suggested changes to the advisory committee before this reaches the floor?
Representative Sundin, and I was just going to comment that if we want to get into the technical parts of the bill, I understand the commissioner is present if need be.
If it pleases maybe the committee, I'd like to welcome the commissioner down.
Okay, you're free to answer the questions, but being that she's here, we can just get the commissioner maybe. Did you hear the questions,
yes,
Commissioner?
So I'm Nancy Lepink, and I'm the commissioner of the Department of Labor and Industry. So in response to Representative Scott's question, actually, one of the primary things that this legislation does is makes clear what are the roles and what are the access that entities have related to their role in relationship to this data. So the majority of the bill actually basically takes existing law regarding roles and what access they have to various data in a workers' compensation claim, and it basically just takes that existing law and transposes it into this new electronic management system. So there's no the roles are already established in law. Those roles will be the same in this new system, and the data they can access is the same as in existing law. It's just simply providing for that people to engage in those roles in the context of this new system. As for audit trails, yes, there'll be an audit trail of everyone who accesses the system will allow for not everyone who accesses the system and what data they access in the system according, and again, of course, limited to what their role is related to the workers' compensation claim.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And can you point to me in the bill where that language is that talks about creating the audit trail?
Commissioner Lepping?
So.
Or Lepping? I want to make sure I pronounce it correctly. Lepping?
Lepping, yes.
Yeah, okay.
So actually, I will ask the general counsel to indicate where the audit trail would be in the language.
Good morning.
Welcome, and if you could identify yourself for the record.
My name is Jessica Stimmick. I'm general counsel for the Department of Labor and Industry. Representative, thank you for your question. There isn't any language in the statute that specifically addresses the audit trail. It's in the it was in the request for proposals. It's one of the features that is required of our vendor to build in the new system. So while it's not in the language, it is functionality built into the system.
And Chair, Representative Scott, we of course would also be bound by Chapter 13, which to the extent that those requirements are set out in the Data Practices Act, of course the system is not only going to be built to what's in the Workers' Compensation Statute 176, but also would of course be in compliance with Chapter 13.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I really think that this bill should have come to the Judiciary Committee. On page 6.16, there are references on 6.17 to Chapter 13. And anytime you're setting up a new database, whether you're using existing law or not, it needs to come to that committee. But my concern is that Chapter 13 doesn't lay out any specific language that's required, and maybe we need to put that in there, but it's not been done this session, that requires audit trails for every database that's created in the state of Minnesota. So right now there's nothing in Chapter 13 that you would be complying with because it's not in there. It's just what we've done in the last few years. So is it possible to have explicit language in this bill for an amendment on the floor that would add those audit trails? And I know you're testifying that those audit trails would be created, but would it be possible to have that language explicitly stated in an amendment and also have an annual audit so that people who have their claims there know that only the appropriate people that should be seeing their data are seeing their data?
Whichever one of you wants to comment. Commissioner?
So just by context, this is not sort of a new database. It's a new means by which to maintain and retain data. So we're not talking about any new data that's coming into the agency. It's just simply that we're setting up a system that will manage and retain that data in more effectively and efficiently for the users of that data. As for whether or not we can allow for an amendment related to audit trails, this is challenging because under Chapter 176, there is provision for the Work Comp Advisory Council to review and make recommendations related to amendments to Chapter 176. So to the extent that this would be an amendment to Chapter 176, the process would be for us to propose that amendment. One of the things I should let you know is that the system will not go live until August of 2020. So I would be happy to commit to bringing before the Work Comp Advisory Council in advance of next session recommendation that an amendment be put in related to audit trails and an obligation to make a report to the legislature, you know, with the understanding that absolutely we're building into that system, I would be willing to do that.
And I should point out to the committee, we checked and rechecked with the chair of the Judiciary Civil Law Committee, and they indicated that they did not need to see the bill. Right. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Although I'm not real comfortable with that, as long as I have you on testifying here that you would bring that before them, that would be helpful. I wasn't aware that it didn't take place or didn't come into effect until 2020, so that does give time. And I don't know how often the advisory committee meets, but in addition to the audit trail, I would really like to see an annual audit.
Sure.
and a report back to the legislature on that. And if you need help with language on that, I can kind of give you the language that we've been using in the past. So I appreciate your willingness to work on that between now and when this goes into effect. Thank you.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, this is a furtherance of the work that the WCAC did in the last biennium, establishing for the electronic usage of the records to expedite the process for rehabilitating an injured worker. And so while the rulemaking has taken some time, this is in accordance with that. And from Representative Sundin's perspective as well as mine, we understand that this is not per se a work in process, but this is the next step in fulfilling the obligations under the work that we did in the last biennium. The amendment that Representative Scott speaks to, I think, is a natural outcome by putting this into language. It's the next step for the commissioner and both labor and management to work on to fulfill the obligations that are already in statute based upon the work that we did collaboratively last biennium. So thank you.
Hey, any further discussion? Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So Representative Sundin or Commissioner, tell us how this system is going to be built. We certainly know that government is inept when it comes to building computer systems, looking at MNLARS and MNsure. How can you assure us the same thing's not going to happen here?
Commissioner.
Representative. So the Department of Labor and Industry began working on this project several years ago. That project involved a significant scoping of the project, careful evaluation and engagement with stakeholders as to what the system needed to do. We contracted with a vendor to actually give us a sense of what were the options and what were the costs of the system, which actually ranged between about 17 million to $51 million. Department then proceeded to create terms of reference for the system. We have hired a private vendor to help develop the system. They have already developed a similar systems for two other states with significant success and brought them in on budget and on time. So we believe we have a very strong vendor who's working with us to build the system. Over the last couple of years, we've developed all of the storylines for each of the processes that will be encompassed by the system. We've spent a lot of time being certain that we had the laws in place that would enable the system. And now, over the next year and a half, we are basically building each of the modules, which each process, bringing in the users to test it, to confirm that it works as intended before it's locked down. And it's a rolling process to then to implement all of the modules of the system with the end date of August 2021. So, and furthermore, the department is also engaged with a private consultant who basically looks over our shoulder and identifies all risks and all issues that they potentially see, and that happens on a recurring basis to be certain that we're not, you know, we don't have any blind spots regarding how the process will go forward. We've had, like I said, significant stakeholder groups that we have engaged all along in this process to be certain that it's not only performs properly, but it's meeting their needs. So I believe that the department has been paying attention to what has gone on elsewhere regarding similar builds, and we have taken lessons learned there. And I believe that we are in good shape with regard to this project, and based in part because we are regularly engaging with stakeholders, so at every step of the way to make sure that we're addressing any issues that they bring up.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Commissioner, thank you for that. What is the total price of the system? Who is the vendor?
Okay.
Is that price, you mentioned 17 to 51 million? Is that price, apparently it's not included in the fiscal note that we have.
Sure.
When does that cost occur, and why is it not in the fiscal note?
So,
Commissioner Lipnick.
Chair, Representative. So the estimated cost of the system will be $19 million. So with the final amount being what's requested in this appropriation, we have received in an earlier appropriation, I think in 2017, $13 million from the legislature, $13 million and change. Sorry, I don't have exactly the. I'm sorry, we received $16 million in an earlier appropriation in 2017. Approximately $13 million of that was for the CapTech is the vendor to for the contract with them, and the other costs were related to staffing and infrastructure that was needed to stand up the system. So the request in the fiscal note now is in the governor's budget was a final $3 million, which would bring the project in at $19 million. So significantly within at the bottom end of that ballpark that our vendor anticipated, and this is the last request that the department will need related to completing the project. So it'll be the total for the project will be $19 million. $16 million has already been appropriated. We're requesting in this session the $3 million to complete the work.
I want to clarify one thing, being that we've had discussions in the past few days. This is a special revenue fund. It's not out of the general fund. So when you mentioned appropriating, it's a special revenue account, not subject to 4.03.
So, Mr. Chair, it's still the people's money. So
no, that's right. I'm just clarifying it's not a general fund appropriation.
When
she was referencing appropriated funds, it was not from the general fund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so if I could, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Commissioner. So the additional $3 million is the amount that's the balance that's required, and I appreciate you saying this is the last ask of the legislature, and we'll hold you to that, Commissioner, and hope you continue on the good course that you seem to be on. As you know, our trust for government here and its implementation of these type of systems is at an all-time low because of the failures we've had, and we don't want to repeat those. So I appreciate your diligence and your thoroughness in outlining the approach. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Graham.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Commissioner, and thank you, Representative Sundin, for bringing this bill forward. The WCAC is a model for how we should do more issues with stakeholders from both labor and management working together to do good things. And this year's bill is no exception, so I just want to thank the author for bringing this bill forward and recommend members support this bill going forward. Thank you.
And I was here when we didn't have that process, and it was most difficult to deal with these issues, and it's having the advisory committee and people engaged in the issue working their issues out has really helped immensely here at the legislature over the years. So any further discussion? Well, seeing none, Representative Wilson,
Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 2311, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
And Representative Sundin, any concluding comments?
It's a very good bill, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. We'll now go to House File 359, Representative Becker Finn. And Representative Hansen, I think you have a series of motions if you want to start with the division report.
I would move adoption of the division report.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Hansen.
I would move adoption of House File 359.
Okay, that motion is before us, and there is an amendment. Representative Hansen, would you move the amendment?
I would move adoption of the amendment.
Okay, and I think this amendment, unlike the one we had in the previous bill, probably needs some explanations. So, Representative Becker Finn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is the flame retardant bill that would include more chemicals that would not be allowed in certain household products and products that children use. It also would have an impact on protecting the health of firefighters. The amendment, we've been very busy in the last couple weeks, so it really is compromise language with the different folks who are interested in this bill. It still will do a lot of good, and just encourage your support. Importantly, though, for your committee, is that the amendment actually takes the dollar amount out. So I know you had asked me to focus on the fiscal impact, and essentially there is no fiscal impact once the amendment is adopted.
That's usually the case, but we do wander a bit at times, as you probably saw already this morning. Okay, with that, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Becker-Finn, what specific changes does the amendment make to the original bill?
Representative Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's some more exceptions based on, you know, wanting to make sure that firefighters and other public safety officials can still do their work. Also narrowing the number of products that it would apply to, so that it's easier to carry out and for manufacturers to also continue to do what they do.
Representative Scott. Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor of the we're voting on the amendment. I was just going to say, all those in favor then of the amendment DE8, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. That puts the bill before us as amended. Any further comments, Representative Becker-Finn?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's been covered. We've seen most of you in the four other committee stops before we got to this point. Would appreciate your support. Yeah.
And the amendment basically became the bill. So,
correct.
Okay, Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, this is a great bill. It reduces the work in my conference committee by one item.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, would you care to renew your motion?
I would renew my motion to pass House File 359 as amended.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. And we now have House File 341, Representative Mariani.
Chair and members, I was going to come and join you at the table since I'm a member of the committee, but I didn't want to interrupt the testifiers. But
you're in a position where you can make your own motions, so Representative Mariani.
And Mr. Chair, I'll need help with what the appropriate motion is, but
would be to adopt the division report.
Very well, Mr. Chair, I would so move.
Okay, the motion to adopt the division report for House File 341 is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Mariani, would you care to move the bill?
Mr. Chair, members, I do. I recommend that House File 341 be placed on the general register.
And Representative Mariani, you do have an amendment, the A19-0269. Representative Mariani, would you move the amendment?
Mr. Chair, yes, I would move that amendment.
Okay, Representative Mariani, if you could explain the amendment.
Mr. Chair and members, what this amendment does is it puts the bill in the shape that the House passes provision on the floor when it was constructing the omnibus public safety and criminal justice reform bill. The language then will mirror the language that exists in the conference committee. And members, quite frankly, what we're doing is making sure that we have all the options before us so that both our bodies, once they agree, can ensure that there's a public safety criminal justice omnibus bill presented for final passage.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then, all those in favor of adopting the A190269 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Mariani on the bill.
Mr. Chair, the bill itself deals with addresses provisions related to child pornography. Quite frankly, what we're doing in both bodies is moving to have much more accountability in, with this offense, and also directing our Sentencing Guidelines Commission to adjust the presumed sentences relative to these offenses. As I stated earlier, this mirrors the language that we passed in the Florida House. It makes it possible for us to have options to construct a agreement around the omnibus public safety bill.
Okay, any further discussion? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Mariani, with regards to the Sentencing Guideline Commission guidelines, are any of these automatic or do each require statutory authorization from the legislature?
Representative Mariani.
Mr. Chair, members, the Guidelines Commission does set mandatory guidelines for our judiciary branch. The legislature has preserved for itself and has often acted to adjust those recommendations as they come forward from the guidelines, and so we'll see whether or not that happens depending on where the guidelines act, and we concur with their recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Mariani.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Mariani, would you like to renew your motion?
Mr. Chair, members, I would renew my motion that House File 341 as amended be referred to the General Register.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
And we do have a couple of announcements. One will, in all likelihood, meet at least one more time as a committee. And we're at that time in the legislative session where I'm not going to adjourn at this point. We're going to go into recess at the call of the chair. So with that, members, we are in recess.